A morning. Today's daf in Erevin Tesvav. We are on the very top Tesvav Amanab. We're starting with the first words, Itmar. We're going to be covering a number of classic topics within Masecht Erevin today. First one is going to be Lechi Ha'omed Me'elav. Yesterday in the Mishnah, on Yudalmed Beis, the Mishnah introduced us to the halacha regarding Lechi and the basic dimensions of a Lechi. As a mavui, it needs to be adjusted, as we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, in order to be able to carry within the mavui, so it could be adjusted in one of two ways. One is the kara, the horizontal beam going across the entrance, or the second is the lechi, and that's the vertical pole put on the side of the entrance. Vertical pole has to be 10 tefachim high, but the Mishnah told us in yesterday's Mishnah, it doesn't have to have any width to it whatsoever. Chut ha-sarval was the Gemara's description yesterday. It could just simply be a thread from the coat, and that could be your lechi in terms of its width. The Mishnah had brought down a machlokas on this topic of width. According to the Tanakhama, it's a mashu. According to Reb Yossi, it's gimel tfachim. We concluded yesterday that the halacha does not follow like Reb Yossi, but rather like the Tanakhama, that it only needs to be a mashu. With that stated, here comes the Gemara's discussion, which is going to be taking up the entirety of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, and that's going to be lechi ha'omed me'elav. Let's begin the Gemara Itmar. The Gemara's discussion begins. Ha'omed lechi ha'omed me'elav. So I have the vertical pole, but it's omed me'elav. It stands there by itself, meaning it was not set up as a lechi, but it rather is there naturally. Rashi over here describes the first Rashi on the Amud. Shelo hukvu sham l'shem tikun mavui ela delo his minu lekach. Rashi's description over here is that it was not set up as a mavui. It wasn't prepared as such. It wasn't designated as such. Is this lechi going to be a val lechi? And the Gemara discusses it in one or two. The Gemara brings down two opinions on this. Abaye amar havi lechi, Rav amar lo havi lechi. Machlokis Abaye and Rava, Abaye is more makel. Abaye allows for the lechi to work, where as opposed to Rava says it does not work. Now, the Gemara is going to analyze this, but first, hecha, the lo samchin alem es mokole amar lo pligi lo havi lechi. When a person was not somech on this at all, everyone's in agreement that such a lechi would not be a lechi. What does that mean? He did not designate it whatsoever. Rashi over here writes, I'm reading the Rashi, Hechadlo, Samchin Alami et Moshaya, Sham Lechi Acher, V'nafal B'Shabbos. So Rashi over here gives a description where we had to set up another lechi going into Shabbos, and the first lechi that we set up simply fell down. And this one now happens to have been there. So this is a situation where everyone agrees, both Abaye and Rava are in agreement that now our backup lechi is not going to work because going into Shabbos, we did not expect to use this at all, and so therefore it is not going to be a lechi. Ki pligi, the only time there's a machlokas between Abaye and Rava is hecha desamchinan ala me'asmo, where basically we set it aside yesterday, meaning when it was originally put up, it was not put up as a lechi, but now it happens to have been in the right place, and now going into Shabbos, it's the right time. So before Shabbos, we say, look, we didn't put it up as a lechi, but now we're designated as a lechi. That's the machlok between Abaye and Rava. Abaye amar havi lechi, da samchin ala me'asmol. Abaye says it's a lechi, and he gives a very straightforward svara. And that is, look, we didn't put it up as a lechi, but before Shabbos, however, we designate as a lechi, and that's sufficient. And Rava amar lo havi lechi, kevin de mikar lava daiti da hachi avide, lo havi lechi. Whereas according to Rava says, no, the lechi has to be constructed as a lechi. If at the point of construction you didn't set up as a lechi, it therefore cannot be reassigned as a lechi, even though it happens to be in the right place. It has to be made specifically for that purpose. Adkanda takes us now to the basic machlokes between Abaye and Rava. When we get to the end of the sugya, we'll talk a little bit more about halacha. But in the meantime, however, here's one of the classic debates that takes place between them. And now the Gemara is going to work with an assumption. In fact, the Gemara tells us what the assumption is. This debate, the Gemara right now thinks, is not only a debate limited to lechi, but it's also a debate regarding mechitza as well. Where the halacha demands that we have a wall, if let's say, for example, we did not set up this wall for its halachic usage, and then after it was constructed, we now assign it as a mechitza, meaning we wanted to have halachic status to it. So right now the Gemara thinks this too is going to be a machlokas between Abaye and Rava. And so we are thinking mechitza and lechi are one and the same. With that assumption, so the Gemara now is going to go forward quoting a number of Mishnayos and Braisos. Tashma, we start with the Mishnah in Sukkah. Ha'osa sukkasa bein ha'ilanos ve'ilanos defanos lak shera. Mishnah Sukkah says that, let's say, I make a sukkah between the trees, and one of the trees happens to serve as the wall to the sukkah. Such a sukkah would be kosher. And so right now, we assume that the tree was not planted for the purposes of a wall for the sukkah. It happens to now be a very thick trunk, and it happens to now work as one of the walls. So the Mishnah Sukkah says, that's fine. The tree can serve as a wall. What do we see over here? Even though it was not constructed, or in this case, planted like a wall, nevertheless, it's going to work like a wall. Now, this would be a great support for Abaye, again, with our assumption that Lechi and Mechitza are the same. So the Gemara says, "Hacha b'maiskinen shinatan mitchila lekach." So in defense of Rava, what we could suggest is that the tree was planted l'shem mechitza, meaning we planted it with the idea, with the intention that we want our sukkah to be here, and we actually designed it so that this tree would serve as one of the walls at the point of planting. Iachi pshita. So the Gemara says, well, if that's in fact the case, so then that's pretty obvious. So no, ma'udetem aligzer dama asalishtamusha mi'ilan kamash malan. Gemara says it's not so obvious, because we know that on Shabbos and Yantav, you're not allowed to climb a tree. If I'm using a tree as one of my walls of the sukkah, one can imagine that Chachamim would make a gzera, and that not only am I not allowed to make usage of the tree, meaning I'm not allowed to climb the tree, but on top of that, if I end up using it as one of the walls of the sukkah, so then I'm going to be tempted to use a tree, meaning I may walk into my sukkah, take off my jacket, and hang it on the tree, which we know is part of the gzera. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So one could imagine the Chachamim would make a gzera, so kamash lan. So the Gemara says, good, that's the Chiddush. Tashma, here we go with another Mishnah. Hayasham ilan ogeder o, chitza sakanim nida mishum diyumad. So here and now we're referencing again the second parak of Masechta Erevin, which we're going to be starting shortly enough, just a couple of days. So in the in the second parak of Erevin, so the topic is going to be the pase beiraos. It's going to be the enclosure that's created for the Ole Regalim, those making Aliyah Yerushalayim, who are going to stop over on their way on a Shabbos around a well, and to construct an entire enclosure around the well while traveling is going to be very difficult, and the Chachamim extended a leniency. Notably, you could put four brackets in the four corners, and that is now going to be considered an enclosure. And we're going to discuss this in much greater detail as we get to the second parak. Right here on our daf, you could see a very simple picture of this structure in my Gemara. So the picture that I have, so those brackets look like they're covering most of the area. As we're going to see in the second parak, it's somewhat inaccurate, meaning the brackets are just an amma going in either direction of the perpendicular, and the space in between them is going to be a wide space. Again, all this to be discussed later. In the meantime, however, those brackets obviously are serving as my walls. And the Mishnah says that if those brackets are, let's say, for example, a tree or a fence or a number of posts that are basically reeds one after another, so it is going to be treated as a diumad. Diumad is a term to describe the bracket. It comes from the Greek word duo, meaning that each bracket is a composition of two walls going in a 90-degree angle. Anyway, so it works, even though, obviously, the tree, at this point in time, we're assuming, was not designed, or was not planted as one of my walls for the diumad. And so, therefore, we find that when it comes to a mechitza, even though it wasn't planted as such, it nevertheless works. And again, another support for Abaye, a proof against Rava. Hachinami, the Gemara says, not so fast, but my iskin sha'asa mitchila lekach. So no, the tree was planted for this particular purpose. So to which the Gemara says, yahachi mai kamash malan. Well, okay, so then what's the chiddush? The Gemara says, kamash malan, chitza sakanim, kana kana pachos mishosho tfachim, ki debai mine abai merava. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what the chiddush is, and that is the case of the chitza sakanim. That last example that was given, where it was a vertical reed, next to another vertical reed, they're not touching one another. They're within three tefachim of one another, using the principle of lavud. So these reeds are going to be considered as if they are a wall, and they can even be considered a wall vis-a-vis the diumad. One could have entertained the idea that for the diumad, you need legitimate walls, you need the most real walls one could construct, because to begin with, the diumad is already working with a significant dispensation. So therefore, a lavud wall would be insufficient. That's what you could have thought. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. No, a lavud wall would be good for the diumad. Okay. So, but what we're suggesting is that the tree was planted as such. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's try this again. Ilan amesach al haaretz imayu nofa gavoa. Min haaretz kimotfachim etatlan tachtav. I have a tree that the branches create basically a canopy, and they go down to the ground. So as long as the branches are within three tefachim of the ground, so basically what I have is I have a natural canopy, and it's a natural, it's basically a natural enclosure, and so you can carry underneath the area. The area underneath this tree now, where the branches are circulating all around, and so you're allowed to carry within that entire area. So this is obviously, the branches themselves are now serving as the mechitza. And again, the Gemara is assuming that this was not planted as such, and nevertheless it works. And again, this is a support for Abaye. Again, the Gemara, in defense of Rava, gives a new kimta. It could be that the tree was planted for the purposes of being an enclosure. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so why not be able to carry underneath the area underneath, regardless of how large an area it is? Now, you would think, well, isn't that true? And as the Gemara is about to teach us, it's not true. Alam Amar Rav Huna Bereder Rav Yeshua Metatulimbo Ala Beisa Sayim. So we are capped. The area that's underneath the branches of the tree that are creating this enclosure can only be used as a Rishus Yachid only up to 5,000 square amas. The expression the Gemara uses is a base sasayim. That's a volume measurement, but in terms of how it translates into a linear measurement, it comes out to 5,000 square amas. That is the total area of the chatzir. Now, we're going to see this a number of times. We're actually going to see it this morning a number of times. And that is that when I have an inferior enclosure, and I'll give definition to inferior enclosure in just a moment. When we have an inferior enclosure, so the Chachamim said that even though, technically speaking, Rishus HaYachid has no limits, the entire enclosure now it has the status of Rishus HaYachid, and you would be able to carry within the entire enclosure. But once you have an inferior enclosure, so the Chachamim capped it at 5,000 square amas. This halacha we're going to be discussing a number of times in this Masechta. I think this is the first time in the Masechta that we're bringing it up. And why over here is the area under the tree considered an inferior enclosure? So we go back to the Gemara. The Gemara tells us why. Mishum davi dira shetash mishal la'avir. V'chol dira shetash mishal la'avir ein metaltalin ba ela beis hasayim. It's an inferior enclosure because when you are now camping underneath the tree, do you really want to be underneath the tree? Not necessarily. The people that are typically now camping underneath the tree are shomrim, the guards of the field. So the truth of the matter is that really where they need to be is out in the field doing the guarding. It happens to be that it's hot outside and they like the shade. So they're going to plant themselves underneath the tree in order to enjoy the shade of the tree. But that's not really where they want to be. Where they really want to be is out in the field. And as Rashi points out over here, where they really want to be is in their home, meaning not underneath the tree. So although this is an enclosure, but this is not an enclosure where principally I want the enclosed area. I really am just here, but I really need to be in another place. In this case, notably, I need to be out in the field. So this is what's called a dira shetash mishela avir. That yes, it is an enclosure. Yes, it is some sort of residence, but I really need to be outside of the area. And so therefore, it's an inferior enclosure. And so the Chachamim capped it at 5,000 square amas. What are other examples? So here Rashi points out, give you other examples of inferior enclosures. Look at the Rashi. Mishum David Dir Shetash Mishal Avir, Rashi writes, Lo Olam Shenasu Mitchila Lakach Vehekav Ladirahu, Aval Dira Zu Eina Asu Letzarech Tocha. Rashi over here describing this particular Dira, it was not made Letocha. What I'm going to do over here, I'm going to pause in this Rashi, because Rashi is just going to basically go over what we just went over. I want to go back to the previous Rashi, where Rashi gives other examples of inferior enclosures. Rashi in Metalkalim Bo, Im Hayu Hukva, Yosem Ibeis Asayim Kechatra Mishkan, Vishir Zeh Nasu Chachamim Lechol Hekaf HaMesukan, Ve'eno Mesukan Kol Tzarchel. So Rashi says this cap of 5,000 square amos is where it is an enclosure, but Eino Mesukan Kol Tzarchel. It's not perfect. Falling short of being perfect. Good going. So Rashi gives other examples. Mechitza She'en Bo Shesi Ve'erev, by Pirka. So we're going to see this in tomorrow's daf. Let's say I have a wall, but it's made up only of horizontals, or it's made up only of verticals. You'll understand that better in tomorrow's daf. Or let's say Rashi gives another example. Or let's say it was an enclosure, but we didn't really plan on living in that dira. So, and Rashi points out, this is also going to be a wonderful example. Fine. So when I have an inferior enclosure, so we're kept to 5,000 square amos, but again, going back to the basic defense of Rava, the reason why over here one is allowed to carry in this area is because you have the branches and it was planted for that particular purpose. So once again, let's go back to the basic point of today's daf. Machlokes between Baya and Rava, lechi ha'omei me'elav. I have the alechi that's naturally there, and it wasn't constructed for the purpose of lechi. Here we have a machlokes between Baya and Rava. Baya says it works, Rava says it does not work as a lechi. The Gemara right now is in the middle of assuming that as much as this is a debate regarding lechi, it's also going to be a debate regarding mechitza. We have now gone through a number of proofs that all of them pointed in a Baya's direction, but and the Gemara defended Rava, and we're going to continue. Tashma, first wide line on the Amud. Shabbos betel shehu gavoa asar vihu me'arba amos vad beis asayim. Let's say a person started his Shabbos on a mound. That's the tell. And it's 10 tefachim high, and anywhere from 4 amos to a beis asayim. 4 amos to 5,000 square amos. So, and what we're describing over here is Tchum Shabbos. So we know we're going to be discussing this also in detail here in Masechta Erevin. And that is that a person cannot walk 2,000 amos beyond his makom shvisa. The limits of where a person can walk on Shabbos has nothing to do with carrying. It just simply has to do with the fact that on Shabbos, you're limited to where you can go. Now, where the 2,000 amos begin, so the Gemara here in Masechta Erevin is going to be spending a lot of time discussing that. Now, if you start Shabbos in a particular place, or if you start, if you put a meal in a particular place, so that now can become a new makom shvisa going into Shabbos, provided that either you or the meal was there, b'nei shmashos. Again, all this is going to be discussed in much greater detail in the Masechta. Over here, we're describing now where you're on a mound. The mound is a minimum four amos in area. It's 10 tefachim high. This is now a rishus hayachid. And so anywhere between 4 amos and a beis asayim, so it now serves as your rishus hayachid. And now anywhere beyond the mound, so you can carry 2,000 amos in every direction, north, east, west, or south. And not only is it true regarding a mound, it's also true regarding a ditch in the ground. The ditch is going to be anywhere in an area from 4 amos to 5,000 amos, and it's 10 tefachim deep, same halacha. Or let's say, you mow down some of the cornfield, and so basically now you've created a perimeter based on the open area in the cornfield, and the high grains of corn are basically now going to be serving as your wall. So under these circumstances, so now this is your rishus hayachid, and you can carry beyond that another 2,000 amos in every direction. Now what do we have over here? So certainly in the first two cases, so these are natural phenomena. Certainly the mound, nor the crevices, nor these ditches were constructed for the purposes of making a wall. So these are natural walls. So seemingly this should be subject to a machlokes Abaye and Rava. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says that it works. So the Gemara says, now what do you want to tell me? It was made for this purpose. I understand how you made your field into a rishus hayachid by harvesting the center, leaving the perimeter up, and that creates a wall. And I understand how you could do it, l'shem mechitza. El etel v'neka ma'ika l'memar. But the mound and the ditch, those are natural phenomena. So ela b'mechitza k'le amal l'pligi d'havi mechitza. So the Gemara now does an about-face on the assumption. We went in thinking that lechi and mechitza are one and the same. The Gemara says they're not one and the same. When it comes to a mechitza ha'omeid me'elav. If I have a wall, even though I didn't construct it for a halachic purpose, but as long as I have a wall, so then it's going to work as a mechitza, and everyone's in agreement, both Abaye and Rava. Ki pligi b'lechi, the entire debate over here revolves around a lechi. Abaye l'tami d'amar lechi mishum mechitza, or mechitza asui me'ala havi mechitza. Abaye over here being consistent with his position, that lechi operates mishum mechitza. Now, I know we discussed this already extensively regarding a korah. How does a korah operate? Is it a lechi? Is it a mechitza? Is it a heker? So the Gemara now presents that this also is going to be a debate regarding Lechi as well. How is Lechi operating? So Abai is of the position that Lechi operates Mishum Mechitza. And so therefore, just like a Mechitza, Asumi Ella Havi Mechitza, a wall, even though it wasn't constructed for a halachic purpose, can serve as a wall. Same thing is true regarding a lechi, because a lechi is a mechitza. Now, I say a lechi is a mechitza, so we understand that it's really not a mechitza, meaning it's just a little side post jutting out, and as we learned in yesterday's daf, the width of it is a mashahu. So, but nevertheless, functionally, halachically, it operates through the principles of mechitza. It basically is going to be serving as the fourth wall. And again, just to remind each other, that when it comes to the Mavoi, three walls is really all I need in order to create it as a Rishus Yachid, like we learned just a couple days ago. But meanwhile, however, the Chachamim said, I need a way to demarcate. This demarcation is going to be done either through Kara or Lechi. But right now, Abai is assuming that the Lechi is operating as a fourth wall, meaning as small as it is, as insignificant as it is in terms of dimension, nevertheless, it's operating Mishum Mechitza. Rava, on the other hand, says no. Rav l'tami damar lechi mishum heker. So I avida b'yadaim havi heker v'ilo lo havi heker. So Rav will tell you that lechi operates through the principle of heker. So if I made it, if I constructed it as a lechi, so that's a heker because we made it specifically for that purpose. But if I didn't construct it as a lechi, even though it happens to have been there, so then that's not enough of a heker. And so therefore, according to Rav, it simply will not work. So basically what comes out now in the Gemara is that the Machlokes Abai and Rav is basically how to look at a Lechi and how to understand conceptually the principles of Lechi. Since Abai operates under the assumption that a Lechi is operating because of Mechitza, and we know that a Mechitza HaOmei Me'elav works as a Mechitza, so Lechi HaOmei Me'elav is also going to work as a Mechitza. Meanwhile, Rav disagrees fundamentally. Rav says that Lechi operates because of Heker. And so in the only way that it will work as a Heker only if it is made specifically for the purposes of a lechi. Okay, so we have now good understanding of the machlokes Abai and Rava, but let's just touch on one other point over here in this very basic machlokes. According to Abai, who says that lechi operates mishum mechitza, so let's go back now to the beginning of the entire sugya, because Abai says that as much as it operates mishum mechitza, but let's go back to the beginning. Abaye says that a lechi does work even if it's omei me'ilav, but nevertheless, and had to have been designed as such before Shabbos. Meaning at the point of construction, I don't have to construct it as a lechi. But before Shabbos begins, we do have to point to it and we have to say, this is serving as our lechi. It happened to have been in the right place at the right time. Before Shabbos, you actually have to set it aside as a lechi. Now, if you think about it, this requirement of Abaye seems to be a little bit strange. If the whole lechi institution is really working, operating through mechitza, and we know that by mechitza, it doesn't matter whether you set it up as a mechitza or not. It doesn't matter if you point to it and say, I need it as a mechitza or not. In other words, a mechitza just simply is a reality. Either it is or it isn't a wall. And so why by lechi does Abaye say that you have to, before Shabbos, point to it and say, that's going to be our lechi? It's a little bit difficult. And what you really have to say is that as much as the Gemara told us, the machlokis between Abai and Rava is really just a function of either lechis mishum mechitza or lechis mishum heker. So we have to acknowledge that even according to Abaye, there is a heker element to the lechi. Otherwise, why do you have to point to it before Shabbos and say, that's going to be my lechi? So it must be that although Abaye in principle views the lechi as a mechitza, but at the very same time, however, he still requires an element of heker involved. And that's why before Shabbos, you have to point to it and you have to say, that's what we're going to be using as our lechi. This is going to be the item that is going to help us demarcate the difference between being interior in the mavui versus being outside of the mavui. Tashma. We now continue in the Gemara. Avne geder hayotzeis mena geder. Muvdalo zemuzer pachos mishosha in tzarech lechi acher. Shosha tzarech lechi acher. So let's say now I have the end of the wall of the mavui and it's made up of stones and it's unfinished, right? So we're basically laying stones one on top of the other, much like you would imagine you're laying bricks one on top of the other. Each row is going to be alternating off the other. And when we get to the end of this wall made up of stones, so basically if you're now looking at the same thing that I'm trying to help us visualize, and if you have a picture, by the way, it would be very helpful. So basically you have now stone than an empty space stone, than an empty space, and you do that all the way to get to the top of this wall. Is this going to work as a mechitza? So the Mishnah says yes. In fact, not only is it going to work as a mechitza, but the end of this wall, this end of this unfinished wall, can actually serve as my lechi. Because now basically I have stone, space, and provided that the gaps in between are going to be less than 3 tefachim, so now what I have over here is something unusual at the end, and it can actually work as my lechi. So the Gemara says, if assuming that this is in fact so, so this would be a very strong support for Abaye. Obviously, you did not construct the end of this wall for the purposes of a lechi, and meanwhile it works as a lechi. So the Gemara says, Hachinam mishabana mitchila lekach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it was constructed originally for this purpose, meaning that you left the end of the wall unfinished specifically for the purpose of lechi. So yehachi pshita. So the Gemara says, good, that's obvious. So ma'u detema lemeiser binyanu hu da'aviday kamash malan. No, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the havamina would have been. And that is that what do we normally do with the unfinished end of the wall? Why did we leave it unfinished? So people typically are going to want to finish it. And that means to say that if I looked at it as a lechi, so people will have forgotten the fact that it's a lechi due to the fact that we're going to end up anyway adding and extending to this wall. Why do we leave it that way? So the havamina would have been is that even if I left it that way as a lechi, people would lose the perspective that it's a lechi with the knowledge that anyway we're going to finish that wall and we're going to end up extending that wall anyway. That's the havamina. Kamash malan, no. That as long as I set it up as a lechi, it works as a lechi. Tashma dini Rabbi Chia. The Gemara again challenges based on a brisa. Kosel shesido achad kenos mechavero ben shenir mibechutz v'shabim bifnim ben shenir mibifnim v'shabim mechutz nidom mishum lachi. We go back to a discussion that we discussed back in Daf Tes, and that is that the lechi at the end of the wall of my mavui, so it is tapered, meaning it's not the same width as the wall. It's either tapered to in the interior of the mavui or it's tapered to the exterior of the mavui, and it works as a lechi. And even though, if it's tapered to the exterior of the mavui, so that means I could see it from the inside. It's discernible from the inside. This is nireh mibifnim. Or let's say it's tapered to the interior of the wall, which means to say that it's only discernible from the outside. This is nireh mibachutz. Either way, it works as a lechi. And you remember, almost a week ago, we had a major debate whether nireh mibachutz v'shav mibifnim, whether that works as a lechi or not. This braisa clearly operates with the assumption that it operates as a lechi. And so the Gemara now's assumption is that this tapered end was not originally constructed as a lechi, and yet it's going to work, and this is, again, a support for Abaye. So the Gemara, again, in defense of Rava, says that no, this tapered end of the Mavui was actually designed, made as a lechi. And the Chiddush being over here is that even though it can only be discernible from the outside and not from the inside, it still works as a lechi, which we saw a point of major controversy earlier. And the Gemara says, and that's what we can conclude over here. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's try this again. The Rav Havayasev, Ahu Mavoa. Rav was sitting in a Mavoi, Havayasev, Rav Huna Kamei. Rav Huna was sitting in front of Rav, Amar Le Lashami, Zil Isi Likuza, Demaya. And he asked his attendant to bring over a jug of water. Ad Asa Nafal Lachaye. And while the jug was being transported within this mavui, so the lechi fell down. Achvele biyadei. So Rav pointed to his attendant and said, stop, don't carry anymore. Kama duchte. And the attendant stopped and didn't carry anymore. This mavui was no longer adjusted. The lechi fell on Shabbos. And so therefore he can't carry in this mavui. So far, so good. So Amalei Rav Huna. So Rav Huna turns to Rav and says to him, Lo sevel amar l'smocha dikla. So Rav Huna points to the entrance of the mavui. Look, I know our lechi fell down, but there's a tree right over there. And that tree happens to be in the perfect place, meaning that tree can operate as a lechi. Why don't we rely on that tree, which happens to be in the perfect place, as our lechi, and view the mavui as still being an adjusted mavui? It's still mesukan. So Amar, Dami Hami Rabbanan Kemandalo Parshi in Shishmaita. So Rav says to Rav Huna, it seems like that no one really explained this to you. So Rav says, look, before Shabbos, we didn't point to that tree and say that that was going to be our designated lechi. And so Rav says, look, on Shabbos itself, we can't now rely on it as a lechi. Had we known before Shabbos that we needed it, and we designate it as such, so that would work. Okay. So what do we have over here? What we have over here in the story is that Rav seems to be following the Shita of Abaye. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. Taima de lo samchinan. Ha samchinan havelechi. So, and if yesterday, before Shabbos, all we did was just simply point to the tree and say, that's going to be Alechi, Rav would have been fine with that. And that would be exactly what Abaye's been saying throughout the entire Amud. Okay, so we are now at the point where, first of all, we're almost finished with the Sugya, but we're at the point now where Abaye is being supported by none other than Rav himself. So what the Gemara is going to try to do now, one last time, to try to salvage the position of Rava. Lema, let's suggest, Abaye v'Rava delo samchina la pligi. So maybe the entire machlok between Abaye and Rava is where it was not designated. Ha samchina la havelachi. But if we designate before Shabbos, maybe Rav and Abaye would agree in such a circumstance. So what we're basically doing now is we're going back to the very beginning of the entire sugya, and we're at least going to, for a moment, going to try to change the parameters of the debate. And the entire debate between Abaye and Rava is where it was not designed before Shabbos, not designated before Shabbos. But had it been designated, so then it would work. So the Gemara says, Lo sakadacha. The Gemara says, no. In other words, the way we originally presented the machlokas, that's really the correct way. And I know that, says the Gemara, Dehu barka dehave bar chavu, dehave pligi ba Abaye v'Rava kule shanayu. There happened to have been a post at the entrance of a mavui. Exactly what it is and what its circumstances are. So the Rashi here goes through a little bit of detail. Anyway, the point is that it was not set up as a lechi. But meanwhile, it happens to have been at the right place at the right time. And so Abaye said, good. So as long as before Shabbos we point to it and say that that's going to serve as a lechi, it works. And Rava says no. And this debate between Abaye and Rava was a continuous debate between these Amorayim. And so you see clearly over here that they're debating in a situation where it was there, it was designed as a lechi before Shabbos, and Abaye says it works and Rava says it doesn't work. Clearly the way we originally presented it is the correct way to understand it. And so the Gemara says, okay, so we're left concluding now that Rav, in the story with Rav Huna, clearly supporting the position of Abaye, not the position of Rava. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our sugya, takes us to the end of the first Amud. Now the halacha over here is really interesting. Typically when we have a machlos between Abaye and Rava, we pass like Rava, not like Abaye. However, the Gemara in the third parak of Sanhedrin, and also a couple of other places, but principally in the third parak of Sanhedrin, tells us that there are six notable exceptions in Shas where the halacha falls like Abaye, not like Rava. And that is expressed in an acronym of Ya'al Kagam, Yud Ayin Lamed, Kuf Gimel Mem. And so in these six occasions throughout Shas, so we pass like Abaye and not like Rava. What's interesting over there in that Gemara is that the Gemara actually does not spell out what all six letters of the acronym are. So what the Gemara assumes that we know is that, you know, the six classic debates of the many debates of Abaye and Rava, six of them, which the Gemara assumed the reader is going to know what they are. And of five of the six, so we know. Actually, in that Gemara in Sanhedrin, so two of the discussions were mentioned right over there, having to do with Eidus. Two of them are mentioned right over there. But meanwhile, the Gemara never spells out all the six. And what became a machlokes amongst the Rishonim is what's the Lamed. So Rashi's of the position that the Lamed is Lechi HaOmed Me'elav. Our discussion right over here. This machlok is between Abaye and Rava, so Rashi assumes that this is the lamed of the Al-Kagam, and in this we're passing like Abaye, not like Rava. That's Rashi's position. Rabbi Natam disagrees. Rabbi Natam says that the lamed is a reference to something else. Anyway, it's just super interesting that and by the way, the halacha falls like Rashi, meaning that this is one of those occasions where we do passing like Abaye, not like Rava. That is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, but there are Rishonim, Rabbi Natam being one of them, who's of the position that this is not the lamed of the Al-Kagam. But anyway, but the general majority position is, this is it. This is one of the six. We paskan like Abaye, and not like Rava. Alechi ha'ome me'elav would in fact work. And by the way, after you having gone through the whole sugya from beginning to end, you definitely get that sense. Our Gemara over here, every proof, all right, I kept a mental note. I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the sugya. Every single proof brought down was in support of Abaye, not in support of Rava. There wasn't a single proof brought in support of Rava. On top of that, Rav also paskin like Abaye in the incident with Rav Huna in that Mavoi. So the if I were just to look at the sugya independent of knowing Yalkagam, you certainly get the sense that the vast leaning of the halacha heads in the direction of Abaye, not of Rava. We are on the bottom of Tesvav and Aleph. We're continuing in the next Mishnah. You can make a lechi out of anything. Any material can be used as a lechi, and it can even be a live animal. Now that sounds a little strange, and meaning basically what you're going to do before Shabbos is that you're going to tie the leash up to the entrance of the Mavui, and that animal now is going to be serving as your lechi. Okay? Sounds slightly cruel, but whatever the case is, it works. It works as a lechi. And Rabbi Meir Osen, Rabbi Meir says, no, doesn't work. Umitami mishum gola. And on top of that, it also is going to be, the animal can become a source of tumah through the principle of gola. Gola, Rashi says over here, the bottom Rashi on the Amud. Im asa gola lekever. Mitami la'olam ba'ol kemes atzmo. So a halacha that, when something is given the status of a gola, what is a gola? So this is a consistent debate between Rashi and Tosos, exactly what the definition of a gola is. Sounds like from Rashi that we're basically talking about the matseva that's placed on top of the on top of the aron, or it could be the actual top of the aron itself. In this case, certainly sounds like we're describing the matseva. But anyway, Rashi says that we know the halacha is once it's given the status of the golal, so it is going to be tumah. It's going to be given the status of tumas ohel. It's like the mace itself. Ve'afilu nito misham. Rashi says even a bigger chiddush. Rashi says, even if it were to walk away, Ditanya beperek behema makasha, kol asher yiga apnei asada rabos gola v'dofek. The gola v'dofek is going to have the status of tumas ohel. It's going to have the status of being a mace, even after it's moved away. And so, it's almost bizarre, meaning that this animal is going to have the status of gola, if in fact it was used as a gola, which, again, I admit, it's kind of hard to envision. Kind of hard to imagine that an animal is going to be used as a matseva or used as the top of the coffin. But, right, the practicality of it, we'll just put aside for just a moment. The point of the Mishnah is it can gain that status. And it's going to continue having that status even after it moves away. Umitami Mishum Golal, and Rabbi Meir Matar, Rabbi Meir disagrees as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis. And Bekoshim Alav Gitei Nashim, and you can write a get on an animal according to the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yosef Glili posts on Rabbi Yosef Glili says you cannot. Okay. What we have over here, basic machlokas in the Mishnah, in terms of whether animals can be used as a lechi, whether animals can get the status of being a golal, whether you could use an animal as the parchment, if you will, as the surface area for the writing of a get. All these points are points of controversy. In terms of the first machlokas, so the Gemara, the Mishnah, nor the Gemara is going to explain why. The Gemara elsewhere explains animals used as a lechi. The problem with that, according to the Shita of Rebbe Meir, is that right now if the animal is alive, so it's fine. It stands 10 tefachim tall. Obviously, you're choosing an animal that's at least 10 tefachim tall, and it can be used as a lechi. But let's say over the course of Shabbos it dies, and then it slumps to the ground, and it's no longer 10 tefachim. Rebbe Meir is worried about that. Now, I know that's an unusual concern, but this is Shita's Reb Meir. Reb Meir's Choshesh L'miyuta. He worries about things that, even though under normal circumstances it won't happen, but Reb Meir is concerned. So that is the reason behind Reb Meir's dissent regarding the Lechi. What about Golel? What's the Machlokas over there? So Rashi over here quotes the Gemara and Sukkah. Rashi on the top of the Amud Beis. So time of the Rebbe Meir Mefarsh B'Masechus Kula Mishum De'Kasofer Kol Mechitza Omez Beruch Chayim in a Mechitza. If you have a mechitza that's basically inflated by air, it's a funny way to look at it, but if you think about an animal as a human as well, so a good part of the animal and the human are basically being held up by tubes and by items that are basically filled with air, lungs, stomach, I guess, to a certain degree. I don't know how much hollow area we're talking about, but anyway, it's something which is Ruach Chaim, anything which is Ruach Chaim, is not, it cannot constitute a wall, according to Rebbe Meir, and a golo also has like this wall status to it. Okay, in terms of a get and being the item in which you're writing the get on, so we're going to be discussing that right now. Tanya, we start with the Gemara, Rebbe Meir, Omer, Kol Davar Sheish Bo Ruach Chaim, Eino Osa, 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 Eino Osa So, according to Rabbi Meir, anything with Ruach Chaim cannot be used for any of these wall items. Not a sukkah, not a lechi, not your brackets for the paste beraos, and not as a golo for the kever. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili Amarav, in Kosin Alav Gitin Hashem. Rabbi Yossi Aglili adds that you can't write a get on an animal. So my time into Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Tanya, we learned in the Brisa Sefer, Ainli Ella Sefer, Minan the Rabbis called Davar. How do I know that I can write a get on anything? So Tamalama Vikasav Lami Kamakom. Vikasav Lami tells me that I can write on anything. In terms of how this limud works exactly, so you can see Tosus over here. The first Tosus on the Amud. So it's really a klal uprat uklal. You don't really get that sense from the Gemara. Tosha says that the Gemara is writing shorthand right now. But it's really klal uprat uklal, and that means I can write it on anything. Im came out to Amal Amr Sefer. Why does the Torah then say the word Sefer? It has to be an inanimate object, just like a Sefer. The Sefer basically is serving as a model. So v'rabanan. Now that is all Shitas Rav Yossi Aglili. Now the Chachamim disagree. So Rabban makes it b'sefer, sefer k'sif. It doesn't say b'sefer. It simply says the word sefer. L'sfiris dvarim ba'amahu da'asa. It's just telling us that the get has to tell a story. It's an unfortunate story. It's a very sad story. But nevertheless, that's the purpose of sefer. It just simply has to tell a story. V'rabban and ha v'kasav la ma'idar shibay. What do the chachamim do with the words v'kasav la? Ha'omi ba'ilei b'ksiva mitkaresh v'in mitkaresh v'kesef. So they learn out from that phrase that gerushin can only be accomplished through a document. It cannot be accomplished through money. This week's parsha, Parshas Kisetze. So we know that the Torah puts side by side the act of marriage and the act of divorce. So ma havaya bekesef avisiya bekesef. Marriage can be accomplished through kesef. So one could have imagined that that divorce can also be accomplished through kesef. So kamash malan, the chiddush is no. That divorce can only be done through shtar, only through a document, not through kesef. V'Rav Yossi, Aglili Hai Svarim Inale. Now, how does Rav Yossi know that? Because he does not have the available psukim. So, nafkilam mi sefer krisus. Sefer korsa vein davar acher korsa. So, he learns it out from the word sefer krisus, which means that what is creating the severance between husband and wife? It is only a sefer, but not anything else. V'Rabbanan Hai Sefer krisus mi bailei l'davar koris bein olaveina. As far as the Chachamim are concerned, so they need that expression to teach us a different halacha. And that is that the only valid severance between husband and wife is something that creates total severance between the two. Lichid, the Tanya, like for example, the following Braisa. Hari zikitech amanach shalot tishtei yayin amanas shalot telchila beis avich. So la'olam ein ze krisus. So if a get has in it a condition that creates attachment between husband and wife, where the only way she will be divorced is only under the conditions. Examples over here is that you're no longer going to be able to drink wine for the rest of your life, or you're no longer able to go to your father's house. So if a get has these conditions built into them, it is not an acceptable get. And kol shloshim yom, however, if the condition is a temporary condition, only 30 days, are is a krisus. Okay, that's not a permanent attachment between husband and wife, and even though 30 days post-divorce, she cannot drink wine, she can't go to her father's house, but that's not considered a failure of severance, meaning that is considered a severance created, and therefore they are in fact divorced. So Rav Yossi Aglili Nafkale Mikaris Krisus. Now Rav Yossi Aglili agrees with this idea. He actually learns out both the halachas, one from the word karis and from the fact that the Torah also puts the vav and the tav at the end of the word. V'Rabban and Karis Krisus L'Darshan, and the Chachamim simply don't darshan both of those halachas based on the extra letters at the end of that word kares. Comes out over here that we just went through the classic back and forth in the Gemara regarding how Rav Yossi Aglili darshins, how the Chachamim darshin the Psukim. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, what comes out over here, most of the points over here are agreed to. The only point of dispute between Rav Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim is whether or not you could be writing again on Baalei Chayim, on a live animal. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, you cannot. According to the Chachamim, you can. And the various drashas that support each of the positions. Finishing up now, we are starting the next Mishnah. Shayar Shinasna Bebika, Vikifua Klei Behema, Metaltam Viksuva. Let's say you have a caravan going through Shabbos, and they want to make a bona fide wall. Now, in the next parak, which we're going to be starting a couple days from now, we're going to be talking about making less than a bona fide wall. But right now, they're making a bona fide wall. What is being used as material for the wall? So basically, clay behema, you're using various utensils. So you can carry within this enclosure, provided, of course, that the wall is minimum 10 tfachim high. And there cannot be an excess of open areas over that of actual material. Now, in terms of the widest gap of a pirtza, so it can be up to 10 amos. Because then we just simply view it as an entrance. Yes, but anything greater than that, and it is going to be prohibited because no longer can be viewed as a Pesach, but rather as a Pirtza. The Gemara's discussion over here starts off. We're going to start the Gemara now, obviously continue into tomorrow's daf, and that is another classic discussion. Today's daf has really two classic discussions. Here we start off with the next discussion, and that is, what if it is equal? Meaning, I take the total area of the enclosure, and it happens to be that the length of open area and the length of actual building material is equal to one another. And this is paritz ki'omed. So let's say they're equal with one another. So what is the halacha over there? What's the status over there? Do we say that this is in fact a wall? So Rav Papa Amar Mutter, Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua Amar Asur. So Machlokus Amarayim. Rav Papa is a Mekel. And Rav Huna is a Machmir. Rav Papa Amar Mutter, Hachi Agmer Rechman Lamoshe. And Rav Papa says, look, this is the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, right? Rashi says beferish that we're describing over here halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. We're going back to the Gemara that we learned earlier in this Masechta on Daf Dalet that mechitza, chatzitza, and shiurim are halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Obviously, we're discussing mechitza, and the idea is that when Moshe was given the Masorah of how to construct a wall, so Moshe's instructions were lo tifrotz ruba, make sure that the open area is not in excess of the actual material, which means then that if that were the instructions, so that means that if they're equal, so then it would be good. And Rav Huna Breger of Yeshua Amar Asur Hachi Agme Rechman Lamoshe Gedur Ruba. Now, according to Rav Huna, the instructions that were given to Moshe is that make sure that you make more wall. So basically, it's the machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna in terms of how to understand the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is that was Moshe given the warning of what not to do? Or rather was given instruction of what he should do in terms of making a mechitza. If what not to do, don't make more breached areas, so that means that then if they're equal, it's fine. That's Rav Papa. On the other hand, if the instructions were, make sure to make a wall where there's more wall than air, so then the instructions were obviously that they have to be in excess. The material has to be in excess of the airspace. Tanan. So we turn back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to weigh in on this topic. V'lo yupirtzos yaseiros al abinyan. So our Mishnah says that the open areas cannot exceed that of the building material. So ha kibinyan mutter. So it's clear now in the Mishnah that if they're equal to one another, so then it would be mutter. So the Gemara says lo tem ha kibinyan mutter elaima im binyan yeser ala pirtza mutter. So you don't have to read the Mishnah that way, although it's an easy way to read the Mishnah. But what you could say in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah means to say that as long as the building is more than the open area, so then and only then is it going to work. So the Gemara says, that's really strange. Aval kibinyan mai aser. So the Gemara says, so you tell me that if it's equal, it would be aser yahachi, listen lo yupirtzos kibinyan. So why wouldn't the Mishnah just simply say that? Say that it's kibinyan. Kashya, the Gemara admits, acknowledges, that the wording of the Mishnah is going to be difficult for the position. Rav Huna, okay. Tashma. Let's do one more proof for this morning. Hamakaris akasa b'shpudim baruchin hamita, baruchos hamita. Im yesh revach b'nem kemosam kshera. So here the Mishnah Sukkah talks about making your schach. Schach obviously has to be organic material. It has to be something that grows from the ground. Something that's not mekabel tumah. And it also has to be detached from the ground. It's the three basic requirements of schach for your sukkah. And here in the Mishnah, let's say you have slats running on the top of your sukkah that are not schach material, meaning posts of the bed which are a kli, which are not eligible for schach or metal rods, whatever the case is. So as long as you now alternate between these puzzle items and kasher schach, puzzle items and kasher schach, as long as they are equal to one another, so then kshera, it would be good. And so obviously over here, this is a very clear proof for the position of Rav Papa, that as long as they're equal, would be good. So hach b'mayiskin and kishenichnas v'yotzei. So the Gemara says, well, The Gemara says not necessarily. Meaning the way we could read it is that the area of the schach is actually just a little bit larger. Meaning if I were to take any one of those puzzle materials, like the bedposts, or like the metal rods, and I put them in the open area, they actually can go in and out easily. So that means to say that the gaps are just slightly wider than the actual bedposts. We could read it that way. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you could read it that way? Well, the Gemara says, there has to be some sort of precision over here, meaning they could be precisely measured. So Amar Rabbi Ami ben Ma'adif. So the Gemara says, okay, yes, it's true, but nevertheless, even with the precise measuring, we measure the gaps to be just slightly larger than the actual bedpost. Rav Amar Imayinosim Erev Nosim Shesi. Shesi knows no Arif. So the Gemara says, or another suggestion over here, is that let's say the gap area and the actual puzzle schach are, let's say, equal to one another, and I could still defend Rav Huna, because what we did is that we laid the schach down on the perpendicular, not running parallel, but running perpendicular. And as Rash explains over here, when I'm running a perpendicular, so there's going to obviously then be a little bit of the schach coming at the ends of each of the puzzle poles, the puzzle rods, and so therefore ultimately what's going to end up happening is that you're going to have just a little bit more schach than you are going to have psul, and that's why it's going to be kasher, and that would we say in defense of Rav Huna. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara over here says that we could measure and we can know with precision that the airspace, the gaps between the bedposts are in fact going to be equal with one another. Major debate throughout the Shas whether Efshel et Samsim or E Efshel et Samsim, and the Gemara over here comfortably says, well, you know, we can measure with precision. You can see the bottom Tosfos over here, second to bottom, right, Parts Gal made, where Tosfos over here deals with that issue of why the Gemara so comfortably over here assumes that we can measure with precision. The Gemara, a number of places, debates this very issue. Anyway, we're going to conclude for now when we get to review today's daf. We started off with a very basic machlokus here in Erevin, lechi ha'omed me'elav. When I have a lechi that was not constructed as a lechi, but it happens to be right now that this post, this tree is in the right place, and now I want to use it as a lechi, is that going to work? So machlokus abayin rabba, abayin says it works as a lechi, rabba says it does not. In the Amud Aleph, we first assume that this machlokus between lechi, homemade me'elav, is going to be the same as a mechitza homemade me'elav, where this too is going to be subject to machlokus between Abai and Rava. The Gemara backs off from that assumption. The Gemara says no, that as far as mechitza is concerned, even though it wasn't constructed for halachic purposes, but if it's a mechitza, it would in fact work. And so therefore, by a mechitza, it for sure would serve as a good mechitza, even though it was not constructed. The machlokus is how to look at a lechi. Is lechi operating mishum mechitza? That's shitas abaye. And so therefore, just like a mechitza, omei me'elav works as a mechitza, so does lechi. And Rava says no. Rava says that lechi operates mishum heker, and so therefore, it has to be constructed for the purposes of a lechi. When all said and done, the Gemara brought proof after proof supporting abaye. The Gemara noted that Rav also supports abaye as well. And the consensus of the halacha is that we do in fact follow like Abaye, and most Rishonim say this is one of the six instances in Shas where we passing like Abaye, not like Rava. This is the Lamed of Yalkagam. The next Mishnah, says that you could use anything for a lechi, even an animal. Oh, this is a point of controversy. Rav Meir disagrees. And then we talked about other areas in halacha where animals could or cannot be used. Two other areas, notably a golel, whether an animal can get the status of being a golel, or whether or not it could be the surface area in which you write a get. These are all controversial topics. The Gemara goes through at length the last topic about whether or not you can write a get on it. And the last topic is that if a group wants to make an enclosure around them as they're traveling, they stop for Shabbos, so they could use whatever kli they want, provided that it's 10 tefachim high, and provided that you have more wall than airspace in total. Under those circumstances, now you have an enclosure. If you have more airspace than wall, so it's no good. If, let's say, you have a really, really wide gap anywhere here that exceeds 10 amos, so that's a pirza, and that too is not going to be good. What if the wall and the airspace are equal to one another? Machlok is between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. Rav Papa says it's good, Rav Huna says it's no good. And so far, proofs were brought for Rav Papa, and the Gemara has so far defended the Shita of Rav Huna.